हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 37, Sutra 1, 4, 15. The words asat and avyakrita are now explained. So the sutra, samakarshata. Samakarshat, from appropriateness. Taking all the passages together, asat and avyakrita mean Brahman, Sutra Prakashika. Here the Sutrakar establishes how sat is not a derivative of asat, based on scriptural quotes and common sense. He successfully equates asat with Brahman and proves the premise that Brahman is the cause of creation. Sri Govinda Bhasya, Siddhanta. Because it is preceded by the word so kamyata, he desire. The words asat in the Taittiriya Upanishad 271 passage, asat va idam agra asita, in the beginning was asat, must refer to the Supreme Brahman, because it is preceded by the words adityo brahma, splendid Brahman. The word asat in the passage, asat evedam, in the beginning was asat, must also refer to the Supreme Brahman, because before the creation of the material world, the Supreme Brahman's names and forms had not existed in the material world. The Supreme Brahman is sometimes known as asat, non-existence. Right? Because it's not known in the material world. It's not material. Therefore, you can say it's asat. Means it's not, how you say, has no existence. Does this make sense? Yes.
However, we also know him as sat.
Yes. Yes. Because sat means that's his actual position. But because you're dealing with the material world, and he's not known in the material world, therefore he's asat, just like he's nirguna. Mm-hmm. So those negative qualities attributed to the Lord, those are to remove any of the material aspects, or in relationship to the material world. Because all the concepts come from him. All the principles come from him, all the qualities come from him. So therefore, sat and asat both come from him. So, he is the asat. But he's also asat in that he's not known to exist in the material world. Someone in material consciousness doesn't know God exists. You know, or what little they know is not actually the full aspect. They don't actually know Brahman. They don't understand the... You know, they catch the eternal and the unchanging nature. Because they expect that God's eternal, the situation that they'll be in after death is eternal and it won't change. Right? But that's as much as they can accommodate. They can't go beyond that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in this way, he's asat, because they're referring it to the pradhan. Because the pradhan is ignorance. Because there's no consciousness, there's no understanding of the Supreme. And then on top of that, then you have the modes of nature. Does that make sense? So it's that understanding of the connection with the Lord. And then on top of that, then you have the three modes. So it's like an extra dose. So when we talk about someone being in the three modes, then we're talking about where they specifically are, goodness, passion, ignorance. But we always have to remember that unless they're Vaishnavas, then the whole basis or premise of their whole existence is asat. Does that make sense? Yeah. So But that principle is coming from Krishna. Otherwise, how could a sat exist unless it comes from him? It can't exist separately. Because we won't attribute the quality to him. But the point is that how can it exist without him? Otherwise, then you get deism, where he's the nice, wonderful, transcendental, and blissful, and all that. And then everything else is something separate from him that's not, he's not involved in it. So then you separate the Lord from it. So that's the point. He's involved, but he's not involved. So as Brahman, he's involved. The whole creation comes from Brahman. So therefore, that asat that is there in the material creation has to come from him. But he is Bhagavan. Then he's beyond that. So they only get part of the philosophy. That's the difficulty with all these different philosophies. They're only dealing with a part. And the part they're dealing with may be correct, but when you try to make a whole philosophy out of a part, then it can't be complete. You know, it's like, could you imagine trying to make a whole meal out of shukta or something? You know, it just doesn't work. Yes.
The doubt might come is that Upanishad says Om Purnamadha, but all the, you know, any part of him is complete in itself.
Yes, it is. But we're not seeing the completeness. So the whole point is that whether we understand the Lord or not, whether we recognize or not, it doesn't actually affect him. Right. He is who he is and goes on as he is. So it is complete. It's just we in our consciousness aren't, understanding. Because the jivas are also complete. But the problem is because of not seeing their natural relationship with the Lord, they act in incompleteness. So the material world is complete. And in as much as what it does, it's full. But that's because of its connection with the Lord. But we don't see that connection, therefore then the difficulty comes up that we're an illusion. So that's the vikara. The illusion is that we don't see the connection to the Lord. Does that make sense? Because the asat means it has to be based on the principle of sat. Right? It's not that sat comes from asat. No, asat comes from sat. Does that make sense? So Brahman is coming from Bhagavan. So his darkness is simply lack of light. So, is that, the idea that asat and not the supreme Brahman is the original cause of creation is refuted in the following statement of Chandogya Upanishad. Right? Because otherwise, where does this asat come from? If it's not coming from the Lord, where does it come from? And if Brahman is everything, then that means it has to be something other than Brahman. So that's an illusion. Right? So it can't come like that. Okay. So, Chandogya Upanishad 6, 2, 1 and 2. O gentle one, in the beginning was Sat, who is one without a second. Some say that in the beginning was Asat, who is one without a second. And from that Asat, the Sat was born. O gentle one, he said, how is it possible that Sat was born from Asat? O gentle one, it is the Sat, which is one without a second, that existed in the beginning. Right. So in other words, Sat was first, and then Asat. So it's his potency that's Asat. You know, it's like Alakshmi. Means it's based on Lakshmi. So if means you see things connected to him, you have Lakshmi. You don't see things connected to him, you have Alakshmi. So it's just bringing out the point that everything is him, and you can see everything in relationship to him. Because we tend to only see the nice things in connection with him, which is natural in the beginning to do that. Then you make a distinction because of our attachment to the not nice. Therefore, we see the connection with Krishna and the nice. But ultimately, we have to see that the nice and the not nice come from Krishna. So nice means you see the connection to Krishna. The not nice is where you don't see the connection to Krishna. Right? So anything that's not happening nice in the world is because ourselves or someone else is not remembering Krishna. That's where it all comes from. Right? So whether they're forgetting directly, indirectly, or whatever it is, then that's the whole point. They're absorbed in the secondary aspect. And so then they miss the primary. And for the materialist, then they don't even know primary exists at all. So the idea that Asat was the original cause of creation is also refuted by the argument of time. The argument of time is that it is not possible to use the verb to be with the noun Asat, non-existence. Because it is thus not possible to say, in the beginning, non-existence was. Right? Like that. So now you see what was his name? You know, was it Macbeth or Hamlet?
To be.
Yeah, but which one was it? Macbeth or Hamlet? One of them had this same problem, right? So it was an Upanishadic difficulty that he was having. But people don't recognize that aspect, basically. Yeah, I get them mixed up.
I think it's Hamlet.
It's Hamlet.
Okay.
He's the one who was talking to his old friend, Horatio or something.
Yorick,
the one with the skull. Oh, okay, yeah. Because it is thus not possible to say in the beginning non-existence was, it is also not possible to say that Asat, non-existence, was the original cause of creation. Right? So there has to be Sat before Asat. So Asat is the lack of Sat. But its existence is there. It's a lack of seeing things in connection with. Does that make sense? So the material creation itself is not in ignorance, but it's based on the premise of ignorance. Does that make sense? I mean, you could say it's ignorance in that the material elements are not aware of the Lord because of their lack of consciousness. Does that make sense? But it's not like the living entity who is conscious and is not seeing the connection. That's then what we're worried about. We're not worried that if our house is going to become conscious or not. You know, the worry is if we're going to become conscious. So. Okay. In this way, the wise declare that it is not possible for non-existence to be the cause of creation. And for this reason, when Asat is described as the cause of creation, it must refer to the Supreme Brahman, who is Asat because he is transcendental. So that's the point. He's Asat, meaning he has no material existence. And so he's transcendental, just like he's Nirguna, means he has no material qualities. So that's why it's important to understand the context. Because with the context only, then you can understand what is the connection. Right? Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:12.5. The manifest, the unmanifest, false ego, and the beginning, maintenance, and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation all come from you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Absolute Spirit Soul, the Supreme Brahman, which such changes as birth, death, and sustenance do not exist in you. Footnote 6. Srila Prabhupada's purport explains the Supreme Lord's position as being inexhaustible. According to Vedic mantras, yato va imani bhutani jayante, everything is an emanation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 4:7. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kam mano buddhir eva cha ahankara itiyamme bhinna prakritir astada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. In other words, the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation also consist of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This does not mean, however, that because the ingredients come from him, he is no longer complete. Purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishtate. Ishupanishad invocation. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Thus the Lord is called avyaya, inexhaustible. Unless we accept the Absolute Truth as achintabheda, simultaneously one and different, we cannot have a clear conception of the Absolute Truth. The Lord is the root of everything. Aham Adir Hi Devanam. Bhagavad Gita 10:2. He is the original cause of the devatas, or demigods. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. Bhagavad Gita 10:8. Everything emanates from him. In all cases, nominative, objective, positive, negative, and so on, whatever we may conceive of in this entire cosmic manifestation, is in fact the Supreme Lord. For him, there are no such distinctions as this is mine and this belongs to someone else. Because he is everything, he is therefore called Avya, changeless and inexhaustible. Because that's the quality that we can catch. But how much we understand of that, that's another thing. Right? Changeless and inexhaustible. Because the Supreme Lord is Avya, he is the absolute truth, the fully spiritual Supreme Brahman. So based on that principle, that's where you establish it. Right? So this point of that we're dealing is beyond this point, is not, you can't catch by logic. So, but this, then within our own intelligence, we can have some idea. Right? But only when it comes in parampara, then we'll actually get the full understanding. So that's why then we'll use those as the basis of the discussion. Right? Because the how do you say? That he's has to be the existence of non-existence. You know, it can't be that existence non-existence has its own existence. Like night only has an existence because there's no day. Does that make sense? Though there's the idea, okay, the sun came into existence, that means there was darkness before that. But the point is that darkness also has to have a support. That's the whole point, is if it's energy, it has to have a support. It can't function without a support. That's what's being missed when one's dealing within the whole idea of creation, and that is that, you know, that is unlimited regression. But you can't have that because that's all of that needs a support. So however unlimitedly you want to regress, that's fine. But the point is that that whole process has to have a support. Does that make sense? Just for regression to go on, there must be a support. You know, meaning, okay, I have a father, and he has a father, and he has a father, and you can just keep on going. So how can you say God's the end of it? Because all that process has to have something as a support. Because it's all energy. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the... Because the Supreme Lord is Avya, he is the absolute truth, the fully spiritual Supreme Brahman. Okay. So we're good on that? Right? Everything's based on the Lord. Yes? Okay, so dealing with, what is this? 16. Okay, Adhikarana 5, the Purusha of the Kaushi Taki Upanishad is Brahman. Right? Jagat Vachitta Vikaranam. So this is the, so in this Adhikarana, Jiva is the word in discussion. Now the Shankyites make an effort to establish Jiva as the cause of the universe, right? Because up to now, then the Avyai, Pradhan, all these things didn't work. And so Asat, so now they're going to try for Jiva, right? Since according to their philosophy, the enjoyer and control of the Prakriti is Jiva. But it has been proved through scriptural statements that Brahman is the cause of the universe and not the Jiva. In fact, Jiva and Brahman are discrete entities. So it's just another angle that they try from. Because they use all these different aspects as their argument to establish their philosophy. So then Vyasadeva here is just defeating them all, you know, one by one. Sutra reference 1:4:16 through 18. So Adhikarana Prakashika. As verified earlier in Vedanta Sutra 1:1:12, Anandamayo Vyasat. Is that far up?
Yes, Maharaj.
I just thought it was earlier. The Purusha is composed of bliss and is the cause of bliss for the jiva. Also in Vedanta Sutra 2.133, Lokavattu Lila Kaivalyam. It is proved that the Purusha creates the world without any ambition, but only out of its nature, which is full of bliss. Hence, this Adhikarna illustrates Purusha to be Brahman as the cause of the universe and does not refer to the jiva, the individual soul. Also, Vedanta Sutra 1.2.8, prana indicating Brahman. Therefore, the knowledge of the jiva is maintained during sleep and wakefulness by the prana, who is the eternally awake supreme Brahman. Right? Because you're going to have, otherwise, if when we go to sleep, if prana is not maintaining the knowledge of the jiva, then when you'd wake up in the morning, you wouldn't know anything. Right? And so that would be a real problem. No? Like that.
Sometimes it happens.
Sorry?
Sometimes it happens
to me. Yeah, but then you figure it out later. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Isn't that what happens to Brahma? With his creation? Every day? By just being destroyed and he remembers.
Yeah, but then he recreates it.
But he remembers.
Yes, he remembers. He means the problem of not knowing, that's only in the very beginning. That's when he first appears. Then he doesn't know. But once that, then it's just he wakes up in the morning and recreates. And then everything goes on. Summary of Adhikarna 5, Vishaya. In the Kaushiki Brahmana, Valaki says to the king named Ajatashatru, I will teach you about Brahman. After he explains 16 persons, such as Aditya, to be Brahman, Ajatashatru rejected this explanation. Yovai Balaka Etesham Purushanam Karta Yasya Chaitad Karma Cha Vedit Tavya. O Balika, he who is the cause of these persons, who performs actions, should be known. Shamsaya. Does this teach that the person to be known is the enjoyer and controller of Prakriti, Purusha or Jiva, of the Shankya philosophy, or does it teach Vishnu, the Supreme Lord? Right? Because then in here he's mentioned all these different personalities, and then that's all rejected. So then taking that line, then they're also then rejecting. And then trying to say it's the jiva. Purva paksha. Right, so now their explanation. Because the use of the word karma here identifies this Brahman as experiencing results of good and bad work. Because in the next passage, this Brahman is described as sometimes sleeping. Tau na suptam purusham ajagmatuhu. And because in the passage after that, this Brahman is described as an enjoyer. Tadyata shreshti sver bhukte. It should be understood that the Brahman here is the jiva, the individual spirit soul, as described in the tantras. So they're taking it whenever it says that there's sleep, that there's enjoyment, that must be the jivas, because they'll take it the Brahman is beyond that, that doesn't do this. Does that make sense? Because they don't know the person beyond Brahman, the source of the Brahman. In the use of the word prana, life breath here, also confirms that the Brahman described here is the living individual soul. This Brahman, the jiva, which is different from matter, should thus be understood as the original cause of the many enjoyer purushas and the original cause of their sinless activities as well. Right, So the jivas, then they, expand as other living entities. And like this, their good karma, their bad, all this. In this way, it has been proven that the Brahman described in this passage is the individual soul, jiva. The theory that there is a supreme personality of Godhead separate from the individual soul, jiva, is thus completely untenable. The text, sa aikshata, that explains that the Creator thinks is thus very appropriate if it is understood that the original cause, the control of the material energy that creates this world, is in fact the individual soul, Jiva. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they're trying to say they can't attribute all these qualities to the Lord. Because as we said, they can't understand beyond the impersonal aspect. They can't understand that the Lord is a person with desire and makes endeavors. So they attribute all these things to the material. Because we have to remember the material being a reflection of the spiritual, then that means, let's say in the spiritual world, they're walking in connection to Krishna. But in here, they're performing the same mechanical activity, but not in connection to Krishna. Right? So one is devotional, one is impious. Right? But what do you call that action itself? It still remains called as walking. Right? So this is where the confusion comes in. Because we see here that that walking is, being performed in illusion. Right? And so, therefore, then we attribute walking to illusion. Does this make sense? So, but we don't know about spiritual walking. So because the terms are the same, that's where the problem comes in. One can't tell the difference between matter and spirit. One can't tell the difference between action in Krishna consciousness and action within the material modes of nature. Because the term is the same. Right? If you have a non-devotional person who's preparing dinner, the process they're using is called what? Is cooking. Same time as we do the same thing for Krishna, it's called cooking. So the original cooking is for Krishna, and then the reflection of that is cooking using the mechanics without Krishna. Because Krishna is the primary aspect. The secondary is his energies. So the energies work the same. It's just a matter of whether they're internal or external. Right? In other words, is it the original or is it the reflection? Right? There's the original tree and the tree in the water, reflected in the water. It's not that the tree on the bank looks like a tree and the tree in the water looks like a wombat or something. Right? It looks like a tree. And it doesn't change. Does that make sense? But it doesn't, it has the branches and trunk and flowers and the, but it doesn't, it can't give you any satisfaction because it's a reflection. But the reflection is real. It's actually there. But to say that that is the tree, no. That's the reflection of the tree. The reflection exists, but this claim that it has the full effects of the tree, that's illusion. Or to say that the reflection is not there, that's also illusion. Right? So that means the Mayavadis are in Maya. Because they say it doesn't exist. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty we come up with, is that you have these overlapping terms. Because the secondary, being the energy of the Lord, it can be either engaged in the Lord's service or an illusion. We can try to not engage in the Lord's service and engage it towards ourselves. So the same activity will be directed at ourselves. So they've made the foolish conclusion that directing all these terms towards ourself as the jiva, then that is their philosophy. What they've missed is that's exactly what got you into the material world and keeps you in the material world. In other words, these impersonal philosophies, they will keep you in the material world. That's guaranteed. Because they're based on the illusion. They're based on vikara. Not understanding things as they are. Does that make sense? Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay. Too early in the morning, it's cold, it's...
Makes sense.
Okay. Okay. So, Siddhanta, is in response to the above as follows. So this is their point, this is what they're making, this is what establishes the Adhikarana, right? And so based on that, now then Vyasadeva will refute this principle. Okay, Sutra 1416. Jagat Vachit Vata. Jagat, the world. Vachit vat, because of the word. The passage does not refer to the jiva because the word karma means creation of the universe, right? Because karma just means an activity. But we're taking the karma means how the living entity is bound. But the difficulty comes is that if we're the ones that created this, then why do we need a philosophy to get out of it?
Went out of hand.
Huh?
Because it went out of hand.
It got out of hand. But then that means, how does it get out of hand unless there's other powers at work?
Other jivas who created something too.
Oh, I see. So it means all the things. But then the point is then, can you liberate yourself without all the others being liberated, since jiva is the cause? So then you'd have to figure out who's that jiva who caused it. And then we have to go get him, right?
Well, actually, Mimamsakas, they don't try to get out of the material world. They say karma is eternal. As long as you perform pious, it's going to keep you here, but you're going to be happy forever.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, it's higher than the Shankhya, which we study now.
Because they just merge into the Pradhan. The Shankhya, their idea is that as when, I'm not exactly sure what's their definition of jiva, but the principle is that when the jiva sees the difference, then the material energy, the pradhan expands and creates the material world, so the jiva can appreciate all the variety, but then see that this variety is a problem, and just being merged together is actually the better position. Makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah, so that's the whole problem. Is that, in other words, it means everything's fine, but then they kind of were looking for, you know, what's going on. And so then the whole thing happens, then you understand is no. It's better when you just merge, so then they merge back.
So they don't understand the non-difference between pradhan and the prakriti.
they see as pradhan is expands as prakriti so the purusha can enjoy it. And then as that enjoyment is there, then the difficulty comes up is that enjoyment being there, then that gives trouble. So it's better to be merged with pradhan than be interactive with pradhan as prakriti.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them are doing that. I'm not sure, I can't say for sure, but on the karma mimamsa, the element of liberation is also would be, I think, seen as an aspect of happiness. Because I think they lean on that when they get older. They practice that aspect of, but whether that's in connection with the karma or not, I can't say. You know, as we progress, then we'll bump into all that. Okay. Sutra Prakashika. Here the Sutrakar confirms that the word karma and the word jagat are in truth aiming at the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not the jiva. Sri Govinda Bhashya. Siddhanta. The word Brahman here does not mean the kshetragya, individual spirit soul, described in the tantras, but rather it means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known by study of Vedanta. Why? Because of the use of the word jagat. Because it is accompanied by the word jagat, the word karma in this passage means the material world, composed of a mix of matter and spirit. Because he is the original creator, this karma, material world, may be understood to be his property, yasya karma. The truth is this. The word karma, which is derived from the verb kri, to do, create, here means creation. And when this interpretation is accepted, the actual meaning of the word here is understood, right? Because then there's no confusion. This interpretation refutes the mistaken idea that the individual spirit soul, jiva, is the original creator. Because if the individual soul is, why is it every living entity is struggling? Right? And they may come up with, oh, it's his pastime. But if it's pastime, why is everyone suffering? Why do they want to get out? So they have to not feel that they're an idiot. So therefore, then they come up with these philosophies that it's their pastime, it's this and that. But these are just to make yourself feel better, that you're not a fool. But in reality, we're fools. That's the... Even the Kapila Tantra does not accept the individual living entity as the original creator. One also cannot say that by adyasya, association, the individual living entity, may be considered the creator of the material world. For all the scriptures maintain that the spirit soul is always aloof from matter. For these reasons, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the original creator of the material world. It cannot be that King Ajatashatru speaks lies in this passage, rejecting Balaki's teaching that the 16 Purushas, persons, are Brahman. Ajatashatru promises, I will tell you about Brahman. If Ajatashatru then teaches that the jivas, individual spirit souls, are Brahman, then his teaching is no different than Balika's, and he is dishonest to reject Balika's instructions as untrue, and then teach the same instruction as the truth. Right? You can't do that. I mean, people do that when in the gossip kind of forum, is that somebody says that, oh, that's bogus, and then says exactly the same thing but just different angle, so that they're the one who said it. They can't tolerate that the other person said it, so they have to be the one saying it. So this is not what's happening here. In this way, the meaning of the passage is understood. You have described these Purushas, persons, as Brahman, but I will tell you of someone who is the creator of all of them, is the gist of Ajatashatru's statement. In this way, it should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause, and the entire material world is his creation. So that's the idea, is that all these different aspects that are the Lord, but the Lord is the cause of these, because the Shastras will talk about different aspects as supreme, but they're talking about them in connection with the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the important thing. Sutra 1.4.17, Purvapaksha. Because it mentions Mukhya Prana, the chief breath of life, the Brahman here must be the Jiva, not anyone else, because they can't attribute the personal aspect. To answer this, the Sutrakar says, Jiva Mukhya Prana Lingan Neti Chet Tad Vyakhyatam. Jiva, the individual spiritual entity. Mukhya, the chief. Prana, breath of life, lingan, because of the characteristics, na, not, iti, thus, chet, if, tat, that, vyakya, tam, has been explained. If one argues that the passage does not refer to the Lord because of references to the jiva and chief prana, the answer is no. The reasons were explained previously in Sutra 1.1.31. Sutra Prakashika. Here the Sutrakar, in order to establish that the Lord is the topic of discussion and not the Jiva Prana, refers to the conclusions ascertained in Sutra 1.1.31. Siddhanta. In the analysis of the story of Indra and Pratardana, the 1.1.31, it was concluded that because Brahman was the topic of discussion in the beginning and ending passages, any words in the intermediate passages that might denote the jiva are actually describing Brahman. Because remember, Indra said, he says, how do I worship the Supreme? And then he says, you worship Indra. Right? That means, because who is Indra? It means who's the Indra of Indra. That's what is meant. Right? Because that principle is there. It's what makes Indra. Indra is the Lord, not the jiva. Because otherwise there's unlimited jivas. How many of them are acting as Indra? Right? In the whole universe, there's one unlimited living entity. So that means it's the potency of the Lord imbued in Indra that makes it work. Does this make sense? Yeah. So then that brings out that point. It's here. The same principle applies to this discussion. In the present case also, the beginning of the discussion is, I will speak to you about Brahman. The end of the discussion says, he who knows this surpasses all sins and becomes the best leader among all beings. Because of this, all of the words that seem to refer to the jiva should be taken as references to Brahman. So when it says he sleeps, he creates, he does, that means it's all talking about Brahman. Why is the same topic discussed here again? The topic is not redundant, though it was delineated in the discussion about Pratardana, since the new topic is the interpretation of the word karma. Right? Because before it was the interpretation of the word Indra, but the principle is the same. Right? Because in here, you do literally have to get down to arguing over words. Because you'll see, in when people have discussions, it's all over a word. You know? That's how it comes down to it. But you said this. Because they take it, you said the word, and for me, the interpretation of the word means this, therefore you said what I'm saying here. But in fact, yes, the word was used as the medium to indicate something, but what they were indicating was different from what you got as a connotation from the word. Because so many connotations can come from one word. Right? You know, just like if I say sugar, right? Then there'll be so many different connotations of that. You know, what it is, what is the form to use, how it's used, if it's good, if it's not good. All those will come to mind. Does that make sense? You know, the child will think, great. You know, the adult, depending upon their position, and they're careful about it. The businessman, he's selling it. You know, so everybody sees it in a different light. Does that make sense? So that's the whole difficulty, is that we will take a word, and by our connotation, we will give it a meaning other than what is referred to in the Shastra. That's why we have to hear from Parampara. So it's not just the words, it's what is being meant by. So unless one comes in Parampara, then only the chit potency being there, you can actually understand what the words mean. Otherwise, like Prabhupada said in the introduction to Gita, that there's I think, over 700 translations of Gita, and none of them are actually doing the work. Why? Because they're giving their own interpretation, because they're not connected to the Parampara. Right? So that's the difficulty that comes up. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, because it's the same principle of how you discuss it, just like the previous ones, so the same. Right? They had so many different words, the same principle is there. Here, this is the same principle, but because they're using a different word, therefore it's a different topic. Right? Bhagavatam verse reference. Kamada Sutra 16 and 17. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.50. He is the Lord who eternally watches over this universe, who exists before, during, and after its manifestation. He is the master of both the unmanifest material energy and the spirit soul. After sending forth the creation, he enters within it, accompanying each living entity. Here he creates the material bodies. There he creates the material bodies, and then remains as their regulator. By surrendering to him, one can escape the embrace of illusion, just as a dreaming person forgets his own body. One who wants liberation from fear should constantly meditate upon him, Lord Hari, who is always on the platform of perfection and thus never subject to material birth. Right? So even though he creates it and he enters it, he's unaffected by it. But the jiva who comes, they're affected because they identify with the material energy. As soon as they give that up and identify as servant of the Lord, they are also, like the Lord, unaffected. Right? But that's only because of their connection to the Lord. The Lord is unaffected on his own. We're only unaffected if we're connected to him. So, Sutra 1.4.18, Purva Paksha. Though it is possible to conclude that Brahman is the subject of the discussion, because of the word karma, modified by a tat, and because of the word prana, It is finally not possible to make this conclusion because of the glorification of the jiva in the same passage. And it is not possible to conclude that Brahman is different from the jiva from the questions and answers in the passage, because the subject is clearly the jiva, right? So that's their point, is that you can't make this distinction. They're saying, no, but all these things are still of the jiva because of the verse in which it's being said. But what's being pointed out here is, no, the beginning and end is talking about Brahman. That means, I'm going to tell you about Brahman, and therefore now he's explained Brahman. So that means what's in the middle must be about Brahman. But they're still arguing over the words, saying, no, but in the context of that particular verse, then they're using the word jiva, and they're using these other things, so that must mean the living entity. Right? The question about the sleeper relates to the jiva. Only jiva is described as having the nadis in his place of sleep. The senses merge into the jiva, called prana during sleep. It is the jiva who awakens. Thus all this refers to the jiva. The subject is jiva, who is also called Brahman. Right? So in this way then they connect jiva to Brahman. To answer this, the sutrakar says, Anyartas tu jaimini prashna vyakyana bhyam api chaiva ake. Anya, another, arta, meaning, tu, but, jaimini, prashna, with the questions, vyakyana bhyam, and answers, api, also, cha, and, evam, in this way, ake, some. According to Jaimini, the discussion about the jiva has another purpose. From the questions and answers, it can be concluded that the jiva is distinct from Brahman. The Vajrasaya recession also makes the difference clear. Sutta Prakashika. Here the Sutrakar explains how the jiva is distinct from Brahman, and also how the prana is Brahman. Footnote 14. Earlier in Vedanta Sutra 1.1.28, the author established prana to be Brahman. Right. So again, here prana is Brahman. So it's merging into prana means it's the Lord. And prana maintains all this, that's the Lord who's maintaining. Right? Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. The word tu indicates destruction of this doubt. The discussion of the jiva has another purpose, anyartha. It is for the purpose of indicating that Brahman is different from jiva. This is the opinion of Jaimini. Why? The question itself indicates that jiva is different from the prana, because the jiva awakens with enlivened prana and emerges from something later explained as prana. Right? So one may ask, why Jaimini here? Because what Jaimini is explaining is what we would explain. But since he's already explained it, we just refer to him. Right? There's no need to redo something. Does that make sense? So it's just like the gross materialist grew the potatoes. Right? So now do we have to regrow the potatoes? No, we just use them in Krishna's service. Right? If there are no potatoes, we grow potatoes. Does that make sense? So, since Jaimini already explained it so nicely, there's no need for us to, again, give a different explanation. We just use his. But we put it in the context of Krishna consciousness, which he doesn't do. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, So even though we may not accept their conclusions, but wherever possible, like this over here, we can accept whatever they are.
But it's not wherever possible, it's where it applies. In other words, where Jaimini gives a good explanation how to defeat these other philosophies, because Jaimini defeats all the other, like the other four philosophies. But as we see in the beginning of Vedanta Sutra, we start off the most important sutras defeating Karma and Mimamsa. Because if you've defeated that, you technically have defeated all the others, because Jaimini defeats the others. So. Kvaisha etad balake purusha saishta kva va etad abhut kuta etad agata. O Balika, where does this person rest while he sleeps? And from where does he come when he awakes? Kaushiki, Upanishad 4:18. The answer also shows the difference of jiva and Brahman, right? Because you're showing that where does he come and where does he rest? So that means that indicates there's something else. So the jiva is coming, having merged into Brahman, is coming out of Brahman, right? Because when he sleeps, he basically just goes back and rests in the Lord. Right? He doesn't become the Lord, he just rests there in the Lord. The answer also shows the difference of jiva from Brahman. Yada shupta swapnam na kanchana pashyati tatasmin prana evai kada bhavati. When he sleeps without seeing a dream, he becomes one with the prana. Right? When you have dreams, then you don't. That's why when you dream, you don't actually get restful sleep. Because then you're just running through your mind all the happenings of the day in ways that actually have nothing to do with reality. Like that. Well, then when there's no dreams, then you go into the Lord. And then you rest there by association with the Lord, then you get rested, right? You get that, you become refreshed. Etasmad atmanaf prana yatar yatanam vipratishtante prane bhyo deva deve bhyo lokaha. From that atma comes the breath of life. And from the breath of life comes the devata. And from the devatas come the planets. From this it is understood that Brahman is different from the jiva. Because right? All these different aspects come from Brahman. Prana refers to Paramatma, since Paramatma is well known as the support of the jiva during deep sleep. Because right? Otherwise you go into deep sleep, how do you know who you are? Wake up, this and that. So it's because one goes into the Lord, then he maintains all that. Because he's knowledge, remember, for forgetfulness. The jiva goes into and comes out of Paramatma. The nadis serve as the gates for going to the place of sleep. Right? So they're saying, because the nadis refer to the jiva, but these are the gates to go to prana. One should understand in this verse, the jiva, tired from staying awake, enters Paramatma and goes to sleep, and again comes out of Paramatma and waking for enjoyment. So all the living entities are all dependent on the Lord and owe a debt to the Lord, because even they want to enjoy separate from the Lord, it's only because of their resting in the Lord that they have the inspiration to take part in this life of enjoyment. Right? Because if you're too tired, the senses can't function. How do you enjoy? By resting, then the senses become enlivened. Right? So everything's based on the Lord. But the point is that's why it said before in the two sutras back, he has nothing to do. He's not making this creation for himself. He's making this creation for the living entities. But with the idea that the living entities, in trying to enjoy themselves separate from Krishna, will come to the point of understanding they can't enjoy separately from Krishna, so then make that determination to surrender to Krishna. So, like that. But there's nothing for him to gain from it. Yes?
So in a sense, we can say that the jivas are the cause of the material creation.
Yes, that's why the Shastra explained it that way. Krishna in Gita says that they are unlimited and they are supporting the universe. So, because if they weren't into doing these different things, why would there be? If there's no jiva in the consciousness of a dog, why would there be dogs? Right? But the whole point is the laws that govern it, that you have this consciousness, you'll be a dog. Does that make sense? So, in this way they are, but it's only because of their desire that it is. But it's the Lord's desire that is actually maintaining it. So they are the instruments within, just like the aspect of quality of Indra is manifest through the demigod Indra, but actually it goes back before, as mentioned. Where was he saying that?
It's also 112.
No, he was just saying, oh, that was on the previous page. Okay. From that Atma, from Brahman, or Paramatma, comes the breath of life, and from the breath of life comes the Devata, and from the Devatas comes the planets. Right? And then we're controlled by those planets. So so it all comes from the Lord originally. Does that make sense? He's there, but then these come out. So in that way you can say, it's just like, why is there, a room full of toys, right? Because of the child. But where did the toys come from? Where did the child come from? That. So you can say they are, but at the same time, ultimately, they're not. So you can say they're the architect of their own entanglement in the material world, but it's still being supported, because they can't function on their own, it's still being supported by the Lord. But the idea is that then they'll come around and be nice, right? So just like the child is there, they have their room full of toys, they're playing and all that, but you expect them to do that their whole life. No, at some point you expect him to grow up and actually engage in activities that are in connection with and support of the activities of the parents. Right? It's a natural thing. No? Yes. So, in the same way, the living entities may be playing in the material world, but the point is, at one point, they'll mature and then wake up and then take up the activities of in connection with Krishna. So, yeah. So that's what's going on.
So, can we say that by Icha, it's a desire of the living entity, but Priya and Jnana of the Lord maintain that desire, because otherwise,
yes.
it can't be maintained.
It can't be maintained. Like that. That's, yes. I think, I'm not sure that it wasn't, there was some point before, I don't know if it was Vedanta Sutra or it was in the Bhagavatam, where that was explained about the Lord's Kriya and Jnana Shaktis are what support it all.
That was Bhagavatam.
That was Bhagavatam. Yes. But like you said, they have their own Icha because they're coming from the Lord, then they have a minute particle of that independence of desire. But the internal potency, they see their desire in connection with the Lord. That's their nature. The jiva then could see it in connection with the Lord or not, because the energies are directly connected to the Lord. But the jiva being so small, then his connection to the Lord is through his energies. So you could choose whether you want it to be through internal or external. That's where the choice comes in. So, okay. Okay. In the Vajrasyaya version of the Upanishad, during the discussion of Balaki and Ajatashatru, the word Vijnana Maya is used to denote the jiva. Thus, this version also declares that the jiva is different from Brahman, because the vijnana maya means that you understand the position of the jiva. So that's what vijnana maya platform means, is to understand that. But the Lord is ananda maya, so again, it establishes a difference. Right? Because it's only when the jiva is in connection with the Supreme, then he becomes ananda maya. But it's not on his own. On his own, he's vijnana maya. Right? Thus, this version also declares that the jiva is different from Brahman. The question is, yo esha vijnana maya purusha kvaisha tada bhut kuta etad agata. O Balaki, where does this person full of knowledge rest while he sleeps? And from where does he come when he awakes? The answer is, ya eshon tar hridaya akasha tasmin sete. He sleeps in the Akash, Brahman, within the heart. Therefore, the text teaches that the Supreme Lord alone should be known. This is all Chandogya? And then this is the Vajrasyaya version. It's based on the... Okay. Okay, because Chandogya is Samaveda, I think. Therefore, the text teaches that the Supreme Lord alone should be known, right? So he's coming from the Lord. Because if you're saying, where does he go, where does he come from? That means it's something other than themselves. It doesn't say he merges into himself or his, you know, like that. No, he goes to the Lord, he comes back from the Lord. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-71. When a man is sleeping, all his material assets, namely the vital energy, the senses for recording knowledge, the senses for working, the mind and the intelligence cannot arouse him. He can be aroused only when the super soul helps him. Right? Because everything becomes merged back into the Lord, so one can't. Like you can see is that, I don't know, there's a, is it kind of a universal thing, at least in American English? Someone's sleeping so much, you can say that, you know, if an explosion goes off, they won't wake up, you know, or a bomb goes like that. Does that make sense? So I'm sure there's some equivalent in everything, you know, like that. You know. So it's only the super soul allows like that. He's the one that support that how you say what we're saying helps him. Then only, and then of all the processes that is given by the Lord, then using the person's name is the most powerful, because the name is the main point. So it's about the Lord's name. That's the most central of all the processes. Then you have other processes, but with the name, then that's the most effective. Though shaking them, buckets of water, all these things. But I have seen someone, after, how you say, they were laying down asleep, threw a bucket of water. It means, how you say, you throw the bucket of water so that the water comes out and extends their full body before dropping on them. You understand? So you throw the water and pull back on the bucket so it goes out, then drops. Right? And so they're laying on the mat, and they immediately sit up, look around, and then lie back down and go to sleep. So, therefore, it's not the most effective. Then when you start yelling their name, then they remember. Like that. You may have been there for that one. It's one of his friends. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-56. Yeah, so therefore it's not very effective. Stick to the calling the names. If one's dreams during sleep are merely subject matters witnessed by the supersoul, how can the living entity, who is different from the supersoul, remember the activities of dreams? The experiences of one person cannot be understood by another. Therefore, the knower of the facts, the living entity, who inquires into the incidents manifest in dreams and wakefulness, is different from the circumstantial activities. That knowing factor is Brahman, right? So what will make this work out? Because he's talking about them, so that makes him different from them. And so then how is that work? That means he's experiencing them, but means that he's asleep. So it means someone else has to be seeing them for that to work. In other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entities and to the Supreme Soul. Thus, the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. In both stages, the knower is unchanged, but is qualitatively one with the Supreme Brahman. So when we say the Lord sees, that means he sees that. So then we also have to, okay, he sees what we're seeing, and you know, what we see, what we want to see, how we see things. So unless he sees it, we can't see. So he's seeing. And then, accordingly, according to our values, then we may see of those things that the Lord... Because the Lord sees everything according to our values, what we want to see, then that we're able to see by the Lord's grace. So that's wakefulness. But that also means that the dreams we see, the Lord is seeing. That's why we're able to see them.
And how can we say that we see ourselves as being the Creator? The Lord sees that too?
I mean, he's the Creator, but we see ourselves as the Lord.
That's what he sees too?
He's saying he's created it.
Okay. So the interpretation is our part.
Yeah, that's the illusion. It means the Lord is never an illusion. He is the Creator. But we think we're the Creator when we're not. Right? But the potency of illusion comes from him. But it's one of his energies. Footnote 15. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur differentiates the jiva from Brahman. How does the person in waking state remember that he was observed by the witness during sleep, and thus says, I slept happily? One person cannot remember what was experienced by another person. That which is present during the deep sleep and waking states of the man who investigates those states, and which is different from them, which continues while these states appear and disappear, is the jiva, kshanam.
Sorry.
So you need an N
instead
of an S. Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Just as one remembers during youth what was seen during childhood, even though the conditions are different, one remembers the bliss of deep sleep on awaking. Superior to the jiva is Brahman. The jiva is not Brahman, though the jiva is also the Lord because of being his tatastha shakti. The jiva does not belong to the Lord Sarup Shakti. Thus, it is different from Brahman. Sardarta Darshani 6:16:56. Right? So, he's seeing these states, but they're seen by the Lord. But because you see them, that means you're different from them. Right? And the Lord himself is the one who's seeing, therefore we can see. At the same time, he's different from them. He's beyond. We're entangled. Does this make sense? Yeah. We're good.
Entangled means when we see it.
Our interpretation of it. Because illusion is how we interpret it, not actually what we're dealing with. Because that's the whole point, is that it's not because of being in the material world that we're an illusion. It's because we're an illusion, we're in the material world. Is that, because the great sages, they're not an illusion, but they're here. But that doesn't mean that they're actually within material consciousness. They're just situated here. So that's the point, is that consciousness means the consciousness actually identifies where you are, not the locality, the physical locality. Because we always put so much emphasis on time and space because of our conditioning. But time and space is not what defines where you are. It's our consciousness that defines.
But then we say that the time and space, especially, it influence our consciousness, so they interdependent.
It does, because we are not dependent upon the Lord. Therefore, then we are dependent upon his external energy, which then is controlled by the Lord's. The Lord is ignorance. The Lord is time. The Lord is false ego. So therefore, then the material energy manifests and performs all its activities based on that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I was wondering, why is he watering the rocks? What a word. He got into watering rocks. And they look better when they're watered, but still. You know where we were? Evaporates. Okay, then we'll move on. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:331. O my Lord, your Lordship is eternally awake, seeing everything that happens. As eternal time, you reduce the duration of life for all living entities through your different parts, such as moments, seconds, minutes, and hours. Nonetheless, you are unchanged, resting in one place as the Supersoul, Witness, and Supreme Lord, the birthless, all-pervading controller who is the cause of life for all living entities. So he's the cause of everything. And the controller of everything through his energies. But at the same time, he's aloof from that. So as he's engaged with his eternal associates based on the principles of affection, while then the living entity is based on the principle of affection, but unfortunately not for the Lord, but for themselves. So they try to take, right? Because in other words, you're supposed to have affection for the Supreme. So if you think you're the Supreme, you'll have affection for yourself. Right? So that's what's happening. So now it's just a matter of understanding that us being the Supreme isn't working out so good. And then we come to the point of understanding that the Supreme being the Supreme, that seems to work out all right. Right? Yeah? Yes?
The difficulty seems to be is that we don't have that Paramatma and Brahman teacher, so we can't be aloof. We got to be involved in what we actually do. So then our identity is material or spiritual.
Yes.
For the Lord, it's easy because he can, you know, perform his own pastimes and still run the whole thing and, you know, do whatever he does.
Yes. Because he has these three features and he has his energies. And these energies then also match the features.
Yes.
So, yeah. So that's the whole point, is that's why it's, it's foolishness for the living entity to think they're God, because there's no comparison at all, other than there's some common qualities. But, you know, it's like the drop of water and the ocean, right? So the drop of water from the ocean, they have similar qualities, but quantitatively they're in no way. So we're simply going on the qualities that were God, when it's actually the quantity can't be God. So then it becomes impersonal, right? Because it's about us. But if we see it from the qualities and the greatness of the Lord, then us as having small amount of qualities, the Lord having unlimited of these qualities, then qualities can interact with qualities. We can have a relationship with the Lord. And all of the living entities have these qualities, so we can interact with them. So if we see it improperly, we see it as relationship. If we don't see it, then we see it as ourselves. That's why we end up with impersonalism. It's about ourselves, and then we want to enjoy. So you have karma. So that's where your karma and jnana comes from. It's just from not seeing things connected to the Lord. So as soon as you see things connected to the Lord, the concept of karma and jnana disappear. They don't exist. But because you see them in their natural state. So the knowledge of one's position and the activities performed in that position, that's the natural nature of bhakti. But when we don't see that connection with Krishna, we're still going to see a position and activities, but they'll be separated. So then they become karma and jnana. But when we see things connected to Krishna, there is no karma and jnana. It's just bhakti. But it's just, if you want to be scientific, analytical, then you can say this is karma yoga, this is jnana yoga, this is jnana yoga. Does that make sense? You know, and all that together is buddhi yoga. But that's only necessary if you're in sadhana. But if one's already on the platform of prema, then there's no need of making this distinction, because body, mind, and words will always be engaged in the Lord's service. Now, which one's prominent at which particular time, that will be according to the pleasure of the Lord. Does that make sense? You know, so like when the gopis are in their house, they're remembering Krishna. So there's jnana yoga. But let's say rasa dance, then they're physically dancing, so it's karma yoga. Does that make sense? When they're offering prayers, then you see that aspect of using the knowledge, the jnana yoga. Or when they see how everything in their house is connected to Krishna, that's using jnana yoga. But for them, it's just bhakti. You don't have to make distinction. So we make distinction for the sadhaka, so they can separate these things to tell the difference between what's karma and karma yoga. Jnana, jnana yoga. Jnana, jnana yoga. But on the perfectional platform, it's just bhakti, because that's all there is. There is only bhakti. There's the Lord and his devotional service. Right? So devotional service is one of his energies, the internal potency, all these different, the jivas. They're all parts of the Lord. So when it's all seen and connects with the Lord, you're only dealing with bhakti. But when you separate it from the Lord, that's how you get karma and jnana. The living entity thinks he's Krishna. And so all the activities he performs for to fulfill his desire, you know, then that's his endeavor. So karma and jnana come out of those two. Okay, so when we can be able to see, that's why Prabhupada said in the beginning that if we can see this achinta beta beta tattva, that's when we can actually understand this nicely. So you can see the finest points can be made is on the achinta beta beta tattva platform. Right? Because you can see the simultaneous oneness and difference. Like that. And it's achintya, because it's by the Lord's potency that these two opposites can function together. Otherwise, then how would they function? So makes sense. Yeah? So the materialists, they can't understand the Lord. That's why then they come up with different philosophies. If you understand properly, there's just bhakti. If you don't understand properly, then you come up with all these alternative philosophies. So, by the arrangement of the modes of nature, there's six main philosophies. Because they're all, again, parts of bhakti. Right? So just like all the activities that go on here, they're all originally parts of bhakti that we use for ourselves. So all these different aspects of philosophy, they're also used separate from Krishna and come up with their own philosophies. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. It's not different. It's just that's the jnana aspect of trying to use things separate from Krishna. And then there's the karma aspect. Does that make sense? Money, house, family, place, all these different things. Yes?
Can we see an example of achintya bheda bheda tattva in the material world, actually?
Means for the materialists. They won't. I don't think they'll be able to articulate it.
And for the devotees?
For the devotees, yes. Because they're connected to the Lord, so they can understand. So that's the philosophy. So to be able to see that oneness and difference. Because you see here, they can't see that oneness and difference. They can't see that jiva is about the Lord, but at the same time, the situation which is being described is in connection with the individual living entity. So the same word can do both. Just like in the 11th canto, then when describing the process of deity worship, and then Krishna explains how you purify yourself with water and mud. And the same verse, the same words are describing the bath that you take, water and using mud for purification, or the prithvi snan, and achman and tilak. You know, so it can do both. So if one understands these things, one can see both. One doesn't, one won't catch that. So the same way is by seeing the Lord and how He and all His features, and that way He's everything and His energies, then you can see all these, how they all connect. And if you don't, then it won't. So, yeah.
Prabhupada gave the analogy of the sun enters the room but doesn't enter the room.
Yes.
Or a reflection of the sun in a pot. It's the sun, but it's not the sun.
The sun, yes. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.